Hello, thank you for listening today and downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. Our mission statement is presenting Jesus, the revelation of grace and truth that transforms lives. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message.
Begin a new series today entitled Pursuing Wisdom. Pursuing Wisdom. God bless our children as they go to Children's Church. And Kathy, thank you for what you do for our children. It's a wonderful ministry. Pursuing Wisdom. This is a new study, new series, however the Lord directs. We just finished Psalm 46, and it was about the presence of the Lord, discovering the presence of the Lord, being aware of the presence of the Lord. But now we're looking at the subject of wisdom, and I believe the Lord is leading here. There are, in the Bible, there are books of wisdom. The book of Job is actually one of the books of wisdom. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, those are called books of wisdom. You can read these books and just, you can read them and you could probably read through them all in a day easily. And if you did that, you probably wouldn't get anything out of it. Books of wisdom are not like the Gospels. It's not like the book of Acts. It's not like the epistles. The books of wisdom are like, they're made to make you slow down. Can I get a little more light in here? Is it possible to do that? Kick up, knock out these shadows on the floor, Eric. But, yay, thank you, God. So what I'm trying to say to you is that books of wisdom are not to be just read. Like you can read Psalms and read Proverbs. I've read my Psalm and Proverb of the day, but you won't get anything out of it if you just read it. It's intended, it's like a meal, a good, well-prepared meal is meant not to be gulped down. It's meant to be savored. It's meant to enjoy the whole process, taste the food, enjoy the flavor. Take time to, when you read these books of wisdom, it's meant to, you slow down. You're not in a hurry. You're not like I'm trying to read a chapter a day or whatever. You're slowing down and you're chewing. And you're, it's like meditation is chewing on something and over until you get all the nutrients out of it. And this is many times in the Bible. Have you ever noticed how many meals are in the Bible? Think about it. All the feast. Passover. All the feast were meals. People sat down and in the meal, they pondered some things. They learned some things. The first miracle that Jesus ever did was at a wedding feast. It was at the meal. There's a lot of things about a meal that's in the Bible. Think about, even the Lord says in Psalm 23, He prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. There's something to learn, in other words, here. There, and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and Job and Psalms, Song of Solomon, are meant to be savored. You don't just read through them. You won't get anything out of it. You're meant to slow down and take a little bit at a time and chew on it. Maybe one verse. Maybe a paragraph. But in the process, this is how you get wisdom. You don't get wisdom in a hurry. Wisdom is to be a feast. You slow down. We just completed Psalm 46 for about, I don't know, 10 or 11 weeks. And the whole emphasis of Psalm 46 was the Lord of hosts is with us. God's presence is with us. Even when we don't know it, we don't feel it. His hiddenness, He's still here. When He's manifested, He's still here. And we're to live in the confidence and the security of not having any fear because God is with us. He's our refuge, our strength, a very present help, even in trouble. And so when we come to now studying the subject of wisdom, I think it's the wisdom of God that's led us to now go into this subject, because what God is wanting to do in your life and my life is this. He wants to take us deeper, not just wider, but He wants to take us deeper in our relationship with Him, in understanding or growing into thinking like God thinks, And we're going to look at the first book of wisdom and see this scripture in Job 28:28. And here's what it says. Look, the fear of the Lord. That's wisdom. So there you go. You want to know a definition of wisdom? God defines it for you. He says, wisdom is this. It's the fear of the Lord. So if someone would ask you today, what is the fear of the Lord? What would you say? It's wisdom. Or someone should say, what is wisdom? What would you say? It's the fear of the Lord. And you would say it with a lot more enthusiasm than you just told me. That was practice. Okay? When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness by the devil, you know he resisted Satan by quoting scripture. He would say, it is written, it is written, it is written. And one time Satan at the end said to Jesus in the temptation, he said, if you will just bow down and worship me, I know what you came to get. You came to get the kingdom back. You came to get back this everything that you lost because man turned it over to me. I know that's what you want. And you can have it without having to go through all that trouble, Jesus, if you'll just bow down and worship me. And Jesus said these words, and he quoted Deuteronomy. He said, get away from me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Now, it's interesting. He quoted Deuteronomy. And in Deuteronomy, it says, you shall fear the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. But Jesus retranslated that word, fear the Lord, into worship the Lord. Are you understanding? He's talking about the fear of the Lord is in essence to worship the Lord. And we have learned from the book of Job that to worship the Lord means to surrender to the Lord. Even when you don't understand, it's to submit to him. It's to surrender your life, surrender your circumstances, surrender yourself to the Lord. So Jesus equates the fear of the Lord as worship. And look what Job said. Job said, look, the fear of the Lord, that's wisdom. So wisdom, in essence, is to worship God. And worship's not just singing songs. It's the surrender of your life. Are you with me? We surrender to his ways, even when we don't understand, because he's smarter than us. That may be a revelation. You need to write that down. God's really, 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 really smart. And he's smarter than you and I. I want to give you a quote from the former Secretary of Defense, Donald Rumsfeld. And he said these words very wisely. He said, there are known knowns, things we know. Then there are known unknowns, things we know that we don't know. But then there are also unknown unknowns, the ones we don't know that we don't know. Makes a lot of sense. Very wise man who said that. A.W. Tozier, a minister of the gospel, was quoted as saying, next slide for me, please. He said, what is it that man with drastically limited wisdom insists on making all of his decisions in his life while a good portion of the time he's wrong? Amen. Wisdom comes from God. And here's a great, amazing scripture that we probably should use every day of our life. James chapter 1, verse 5. God is talking to us, his people, and he says, look, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally, without criticizing you, without condemning you, and it will be given, but you have to ask. You have to go to God, and you have to ask God. And so wisdom comes from God. Now, don't mistake this. Don't think because you pray one time, now, Lord, I need wisdom about making a decision here, and you think that instantly God's going to drop something down from heaven into your heart. Now, he can do that, and he does do that on occasion. But most of the time, as we're going to learn today, that's not God's way to get wisdom. It's just like enjoying a meal, like I said to you earlier. God is not in a hurry. So quit looking at your watch. He's not in a hurry. And if you're in a hurry, you can't walk with God. Not very far. And so it's just like, wisdom is like enjoying a meal. God intends for us to slowly savor the process. Wisdom comes slowly. Don't expect a quick fix. God, I need help with this problem. What's the solution? Don't expect a big fix. Everything God does is relational with Him. Everything God does is relational with Him. Are you with me? One time I remember I was complaining to God about something. I don't remember what it was. But in my prayer time, talking to God, I was complaining. And I was about something I didn't understand something. And I believe the Holy Spirit spoke to me. I didn't hear an audible voice, but He spoke to me ever so clearly these words. I said, God, I don't understand. Why don't I understand? Why don't you give me wisdom? I don't understand why you haven't done this or haven't done that. And this is what the Holy Spirit spoke. He said, that's because you don't know me well enough. Now that stung, that hurt, but what am I going to, from someone who is perfect, and like Grayson said, he doesn't lie and he doesn't change, he's perfect truth. When he tells you something like that, then you better believe it, right? You don't know me well enough. God could have quickly given an answer. He could have quickly done something and dropped the answer or fixed the problem, but instead He's doing it a different way than what I want Him to do. Because it's relational. What does God want from you more than anything else? I don't hear anybody answering. Relationship. He can do without your money. He's done without most of it already anyway. Even in your giving of money, it has to come from a relationship. He doesn't want you just to drop money in the church and collection plate or whatever. He wants the everything God does is relational. Everything. And so the answer that you're looking for and you're seeking God's wisdom about has to come from a relationship with Him. You say, well, I'm already saved. No, I understand. He wants you to go deeper with Him. He wants you to slow down. And like Alice said, He wants you to have times to be still. How many of you realize you and I are not God? Raise your hand. If anybody doesn't raise your hand, I got some questions for it. I'm going to keep security. You keep an eye on some of these people. You're not God. I'm not God. We don't think like God. Bible's very clear. His ways are much higher. His thoughts are much higher. We can't even think like God unless He allows us to have the relationship with Him that brings us up to see things from His perspective. From His perspective, everything looks different than it does down here. I just flew on a plane a few days ago, and I love going up in the air and looking down and thinking, wow, things are so different from up here than they are down there. Things look different. Things look different. We are not God. Write it down. Two guys in a insane asylum. Two guys in an insane, I'm not making fun of mental illness, I'm just using this as a joke. Two guys in an insane asylum, and one of them says, I am Jesus Christ. The other guy says, no, you're not. He says, I am, I'm Jesus Christ. No, you're not. I am Jesus Christ. No, you're not. And they argue back and forth. I am Jesus Christ. No, you're not. I am. The other guy said, who told you you're Jesus Christ? He said, God told me. He said, I did not tell you that. We're not God. In wisdom, we have to go to God first. We have to go to Him. We have to pursue Him. We go to Him. I need wisdom. I think it should be this way. I think we should do that. I think the answer is this, but God, your ways are so much higher than mine. I have to come to you. I need relationship with you. We go to God first. Wisdom should be our number one request. James 1:5 ought to be one that you don't have to, you've memorized it. You have it in your heart. It's one you use all the time when you are in prayer. God, give me wisdom. You said you would. I believe it. If I just have faith, you will do it. I believe that. But when you ask God for wisdom, here's what you must expect next. You have just entered into a very slowing down process. The speed limit has just changed. You were doing 70, and the speed limit has dropped to 55, and you better pay attention. When you ask God for wisdom, you have just entered a slowing down process. Hello. I remember being in Bible college when Pam and I were there, and in about our second year, I think it was, Pam, there were a lot of college students, people there with us, students, who dropped out. I mean, the group that we started with, it was in the second year, that a lot of them had dropped out for various reasons, health, family, finances, whatever, and they went back home, and I was puzzled by that. I thought, well, how would you know, I was kind of critical. I said to a friend of mine, I said, how could they quit if they know God sent them here? And my friend very wisely said to me, he said, what if it was not about getting a diploma, but it was just about the journey or the process itself? And I thought, wow, yeah, maybe God called some of them there just for a short season. Maybe it wasn't about staying and completing the course like I thought. Are you with me? God's talking to some of you right now. Maybe it's not about you completing something. Maybe it's not the goal that you have in mind. Maybe God has something else in mind. Maybe there's a process that's just involved. Maybe it was just a trust thing, a step of obedience. Are you with me? So the scripture tells us in Job, where is wisdom found? Where do you go get it? Where's the place of understanding? Read this part, next part with me. It is what? It is hidden from the eyes of all the living and concealed from the birds of the sky. In other words, it's not on the surface. It's not on the surface. Wisdom is hidden from us, but it's also hidden for us to find. When you go to nature, for example, And you look at these birds, how do birds know up in the north how to fly south in the wintertime? How do they know? Because it's cold. No. I just want to see if you're paying attention. No. How do honeybees know how to go across a meadow or a long distance and find their hive? How do they do that? How does salmon know how to swim upstream exactly to the place where they respond? There's so much wisdom in nature, animals. Many of you have little pets at home, a dog or a cat or something like that. Raise your hand if you have a dog or cat. And you look at them and you marvel at them, don't you? The wisdom or the knowledge. How do they know to do certain things? We have a cat that's not our cat, but it's a neighbor's cat, but the cat has adopted us to be his owners, and he's at our house a lot, and this cat, I swear if you listen to him, he's talking to us. He's trained us really well. Yeah, he's trained us. He goes and meows at the door when he wants to come in. He meows at the door when he wants to go out. When he wants a drink of water, he meows, and guess what? We jump up and do it. So who's the master in this situation? He has trained us very well. So here's the point. After you go to God for wisdom, now you got to realize God wants to take you deeper. He doesn't want to give you a quick fix. He could. He wants to take you deeper in understanding Him, in knowing His ways, in knowing His thoughts. And so God often teaches us through parables. Everybody say parables. A parable is nothing more than an earthly story with a hidden message. There's hidden wisdom in it. Your life has many parables already. The parable of how come I keep running out of money? The parable, how come I can't get along with my wife? The parable of, how come I argue with my boss? Your life is filled with parables. And God likes to talk to us when he's teaching us wisdom in parables rather than give us a direct answer. Matthew chapter 13, verse 45, there's two short parables in the Bible. Jesus is teaching and he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that's hidden in a field. When a man found it, he goes, sells all that he has. And then he goes into another parable. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all he had to buy it. Two parables teaching us about wisdom and the ways of God. One man stumbles upon a hidden treasure out in the field. Oh, there it is. He just happened to stumble. He wasn't searching for it. He just stumbled upon it. Another man knew it was out there, and he searched for it. The pearl. He knew what he was looking for. One man wasn't searching for anything. He found wisdom. One man was searching for it. Wisdom can be just a suddenly in your life where God just gives you something and you stumble up across it and you go, wow, that's the wisdom of God. But most of the time, there's a price involved in your relationship with God and you're going to have to walk it out. The Christian life is not a program. The Christian life is not an assignment. The Christian life is meant to be a moment-by-moment relationship with Jesus. No matter what you're going through, he's with you all the time. He is with you. He's a very present help in trouble. He's a refuge in a storm. He's your strength when you're weak. He's all these things and more. So he's never leaving you. So whatever your circumstances are right now, your most important part of your life is relationship with God. How can I go deeper with you, God? What are you trying to be to me in this moment, God? What are you wanting to show to me, God, right now that I'm not seeing? What is your wisdom, God? Jesus said these words, and we need to take them to heart. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Not learn about me, but learn of me. And the idea is this, there's a mature ox and an immature ox. And you yoke them together. The immature ox learns from the mature ox. He walks his pace. He learns from him. Jesus has intended that the Christian life is all about you learning him. Learning Jesus. Focused upon him. What is he doing? What is he revealing? What is he saying to me? The Christian life is learning about Jesus. It's about being yoked with Jesus in everything you do, in writing out your bills, and in your marriage, and in your relationships, in your church, in your business, handling your kids. It's all there. He wants to be yoked with you all the time, not just on Sunday. And then you unyoke when you go out the door. Let me show you something I think is interesting. The wisest man in all the world was known as King Solomon. King Solomon was David's son. And when Solomon replaced David as the king. And Solomon was probably about 20 years old, I guess, when this happened. And the scripture says in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 4 and 5, it says, now once Solomon was made king, it says here, the king went to Gibeon, that's a place, to sacrifice there. For there was a great high place. Remember, there was no temple at this time. David wasn't allowed to build a temple. Solomon hadn't built the temple yet. So they had high places where they'd go and sacrifice. And King Solomon goes to Gibeon, and there he sacrifices. And he offered 1,000 burnt offerings. He only needed to offer one, but he offered 1,000. You see his consecration. You see his dedication. Are you with me? So how many did he offer? He only needed to offer how many? But he offered 1,000. And while he was at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to him in a dream. And in the dream, the Lord said to Solomon, ask me for anything you want. How would you like God to offer you that? Ask me for anything you want. And that was a test. Ask me for anything you want. And Solomon, in this dream, he asked God for the thing that God was most pleased with. He asked God for wisdom. But specifically, the Hebrew words that he uses for wisdom is not just wisdom. The Hebrew words that he uses is a hearing heart. A heart that knows how to pay attention to you, God. A heart that is focused on you. I'm asking you, God, to give me a hearing heart, because now you have placed me in this position as the king, as the ruler over the people. I'm a young man. I don't know how to come in and go out. I need wisdom. I need to know. I need to learn from you how you think. I need to do things your way if I'm going to be a successful king. Are you with me? That's what he's asking for. Notice what happened after this dream in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 15. Solomon awoke from this dream and found out it was a dream. It was so real to him. Then he came to where? He came to Jerusalem, and he stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and he offered up burnt offerings and peace offerings. Now, why did he do this right after the dream? He just offered up 1,000. The Lord appeared to him, and now he goes to Jerusalem. You got to remember, King David was the one, the king who brought the Ark of the Covenant, which represents the presence of the Lord to Israel. He brought it to Jerusalem. Remember, it was in a tent. Obed-Edom kept this Ark of the Covenant. Remember, the Ark of the Covenant, if you don't know, was a gold chest. It was made out of wood, and it was overlaid with gold. Inside was the rod of Aaron, Ten Commandments, and a jar of manna. Now, this Ark represents something very, very important. And this is why Solomon went after the Ark. This Ark was made of wood. Everybody say wood. Wood represents humanity. Humanity decays. Our Lord Jesus is God who became a man. This Ark was made of wood, but it's overlaid with pure gold. And the mercy seat was a pure slab of gold. Humanity covered in divinity. So what does the Ark represent? The Lord Jesus. The Ark of the Covenant represents the Lord Jesus. Now, Solomon had just had this encounter with God in a dream in Gibeon, but now look at what he's doing. He's going after the presence. He wants to be in the presence of the Lord. He wants more. Wisdom is seeking the presence of the Lord. Wisdom is worshiping the Lord. He's just offered 1,000 burnt offerings, but he's going after the presence of the Lord. He's going to experience more of God. That's why David, a man after God's own heart, moved the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. He wanted the presence of God to be the centerpiece of God's people. We want the centerpiece of the church to be the Lord Jesus. Not the name of the church, not the pastor. The centerpiece of the church is the Lord Jesus. And David wanted that to be in Israel, so that's why he moved the Ark of the Presence to Jerusalem. Now Solomon is going after the presence. Are you catching on? He was going deeper with God. He just had an amazing encounter with God, but he's going deeper with God. He wanted to know the presence of God. Now, today we have the presence of God living in us. When you're born from above, the Holy Spirit of God lives within us. But we still need to seek God. We still need to go after the Lord and the things of the Lord. We still need to learn to be still in the presence of God. We still need to learn how to reverence God. We need to learn how to honor God. We need to learn how to hear God. Are you with me? So Solomon is going deeper. 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 31, look what the Lord says. God gave Solomon wisdom and great depth of understanding, as well as compassion, as vast as the sand on the seashore. People came from all over the world to hear the wisdom of Solomon. He wrote Proverbs, he wrote Ecclesiastes, he wrote many songs, Song of Solomon. He studied nature. He wrote about it, considered the ant. He studied birds. He studied animals. He saw the wisdom of God in things because he pursued God. And God, in his relationship with God, God taught him things that he could not have learned on his own. The Bible says he was the wisest man in all the world. God gave Solomon wisdom. Why? Because Solomon went after God. When you ask God for wisdom, you're going after God. You're seeking God. You're seeking a deeper relationship with God. You may not have known that until just now, but when you ask God for wisdom, you're asking God, take me deeper. I honestly don't understand your ways. I have yet to plumb the depths of your love and plumb the depths of the heights of your knowledge. And so God gave Solomon wisdom that everybody in the whole world noticed. And one example of this was right after this, in this chapter, there were two women who came before Solomon. And both of them had had babies. And they lived together. Some commentaries say they were two prostitutes. We don't know for sure. But they were two women, and they had to come before King Solomon because no other judge could decide this matter. Both of them, one baby died, one of the women's babies died, and both of the ladies were claiming that this baby was their baby. Obviously, one of them's lying. And so none of the judges of Israel could figure it out. And they come before King Solomon. King Solomon has compassion. He listens to them. And as he listens to them, God gives him wisdom. And he says, bring me a sword. They brought him a sword. And he said, let's cut the baby in two. We'll give a half to each side. Settle this matter. And one of the ladies said, go ahead. And the other lady, no, don't kill the baby. And Solomon says, give the child to her because she's the real mom. Give that child to that woman. That's the real mom. She's willing to sacrifice herself in order to save that child. And the scripture says that all of Israel heard and saw the wisdom of God that was in him to execute sound judgment. All of Israel heard about this, and they were amazed at how Solomon had manifested the wisdom of God. Pursuing wisdom, what it means is a deeper relationship. I don't know where you are spiritually, but you've got to have a relationship with God to get wisdom. Now you say, well, preacher, don't people who are without God have wisdom? Yes, they do, because God gives good gifts to all people. He's just a generous God. There are people that have witty inventions that have come up with things that they don't know God. They don't even acknowledge that the wisdom they have came from God. Many of the great inventions we have today come from the Jewish people, Jewish people who are not Messianic Jews, who don't know Jesus as Lord. God gave a small race of people great wisdom. Many of the things that we walkie-talkies, vaccinations, chemotherapy, kidney dialysis, all invented by a Jew. So the next time you see a Jew, you need to say, thank you. Thank you. Many of our inventions today. And the Jew, those, I mean, talking about the Jewish people who didn't don't know Jesus as Lord. So God's generous in giving wisdom to lots of people. A lot of judges who don't know the Lord have wisdom to make decisions. But God has greater wisdom to give us than the world's wisdom. He's a generous God. God wants to give you wisdom. Is there an issue in your heart right now that's troubling you? Is there a matter that you say, I don't really know what to do? Go to God first. Ask Him for wisdom. Slow down. Give Him a relationship with you so that He can talk to you. He can show you things. Look at the books of wisdom. Take time to savor them. Don't just read through them. Chew on it. You know, I tell people, when you read the Bible, especially books of wisdom, read till you get something. But when you, as soon as you got, you know, a nibble, like you're fishing, you got a nibble, stay with it. Amen. Don't go on to the next thing. Plumb the depths of it. Get a journal out. Begin to write some things down. I find that most people just don't want to go deep with God because they don't want to take the time. Write some things out. Write the proverb out. Write the psalm out. Write the scripture out. Ask God to give you more wisdom. Pray. And as you're praying, watch what He does. Pursuing wisdom. You're pursuing God. You're pursuing going deeper. It's going to cost you. But it's worth it. Would you stand together with me? Altar workers, would you go ahead and come on up? Pursuing wisdom, it's going to cost you some long walks with God. I said some long walks with God. Some deeper talks. Some slowing down. Probably some journaling. It's going to cost you, but oh my, the benefits are worth it. I don't know if that's what you want or not, but it would be the best thing that ever happened to your life if you would get a deeper relationship with God. Spend time with Him. And even today on the Lord's Day, take a walk if it's not raining on you. Or go somewhere and spend some extra time with God and ask Him for wisdom. I know that He's willing to show you things and willing to teach you some things. But you're going to have to slow down. You got something to share, honey? Okay, come here. What is it?
You were talking about wisdom and just going through a different period of my life for the last couple of months as far as my job, my health. And I was doing some, like taking time to listen to that small, quiet voice. And I came upon a part in Matthew about when you pray, when you give, and when you fast. And this light bulb went out in my head and it was like, I've been praying since I've been coming here. God's worked me on that. And He obviously really worked on the giving part. So I have been going through day to day, but I haven't been fasting. And that really brought me to a whole different, deeper level the past couple of weeks because I got down, and I'm shaking right now because I've gotten down to the wire of my finances. I've been praying about a job and also wisdom to open a door. And when Alice was talking this morning, this is what came across. Oh boy. My morning devotion said, when you don't know what to do, just wait. While I open the way before you, trust that I know what I'm doing and be ready to follow my lead, and I will give you strength to bless you with peace. And even praying about coming up here, because as you can say, I'm not a person to speak, and I'm shaking my little tush. But The other thing I wanted to share, and this is in regards to you guys. So I had, the funny thing, it's this whole thing about fasting, and I came across a book by accident by Gentes Franklin on fasting. I was supposed to volunteer one day, and when I got there, they canceled me, and they said they didn't need me. So I went over to my friend Linda's house, and I was all in a panic mode because I didn't really want to be there at that time. I had my mom to get home to. And she's like, just stay put for a second. And as I sat down, there was this book from Gentes Franklin on fasting, which all corresponds, but I want to share this. There's something about getting in a church where anointing flows and you hear the word of God preached. And over the past couple of weeks, you guys have been really speaking to my heart. Faith doesn't come from programs or a dynamic worship team. Not that you guys aren't great, I love you guys, or being with a group of people who are just like you. Faith comes when you hear a man or a woman of God preach the word without compromise to all who will listen. And that's how I have with this church. I've been coming here for how many years now? Three? And I have so much, and I haven't come through this door yet where something hasn't spoke to me.
Stay up here and stay up here. You might want to be praying with somebody. Just stay up here for a moment. Amen. Fasting slows you down too, you know. Somebody may be thinking, why did you let her talk? Whoever said the pastor is supposed to do all the talking? I'm serious. Do you know the kind of drain and the stress that that can put on one man to think he's got to be the voice of God to everybody? God speaks to all through all kinds of folks. And sometimes we may come in here one day and we just have a whole testimony service where I don't even preach. Everybody, just the Lord speaks through people. You never know. But I wonder if we sometimes are not doing church the wrong way because everything's focused on the preaching of the word. Preaching of the word needs to be done, but we can just wear one person down to where every Wednesday, Sunday, they have to pour out. Well, that person's got to be refilled. And so, you know, it's good to hear somebody, Kathy. Thank you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as Lord and Savior, you're not born again. You're not born from above. You may know about God and talk to God and pray to God, go to church even. But if you've never really received Christ as the centerpiece of your life, as Lord, as Savior, you need to do that. He only comes in by invitation, and that's your call. Jesus said, whoever would call upon the name of the Lord would be saved. Anybody who's serious, anybody who really wants the Lord, he's available. There's nothing you've done that's so bad that Christ hasn't already paid for. You're saved by grace, not by performance, not by your commitment. You're saved by grace alone. There is nothing else you can add to that. And so if that's never happened in your life, you need to receive Christ right now. And I can lead you in a simple prayer, but the prayer of the most simplest prayer would be, Lord, save me. I want to be saved. I want to be forgiven. And he's already done that. But then you just thank him for it. And then I would encourage you to do that right now. Just say it. Just say it to God. And Lord, save me. Save me. Help me. I need saving. I need you to come in my life. And as soon as you say that, he has heard if you're sincere. Now, I would ask you to do a very important thing. I'd ask you to, you don't have to do this, but I'd encourage you to come forward publicly so that you can have someone else pray for you. Come up here to one of these counselors and say, I just prayed that prayer. God heard me, and I need some help. Others of you, you want to get closer to God? Once you ask for wisdom, realize it means your life's going to slow down. If you need wisdom from God, ask, he'll give it. Father, I thank you today for this message on pursuing wisdom. I thank you for the encouragement from Kathy, and I thank you for how you speak to us and through us. Thank you for wisdom. It's not hidden from us, it's hidden for us to find, and it's found in a relationship with you. Thank you, God. And I pray that everyone here will seek and pursue the wisdom, the presence of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. These altar workers are up front here to help you. If you need prayer for healing, you need prayer for anything.